Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio. 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. Maloff, behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
And we have Seth Habegger.
Good morning, everyone.
And we are here to have fun. We've got about 20 hours of show to get to.
Wow.
We're going to fit it into 3 hours.
Let's do it.
We're going to have some fun here. We're going to have a good time.
Just make Seth stop talking, and then we'll get to it.
It begins.
Wow, across the bow already. Right, my goodness.
7:05, not even a minute in. I love it. Oh, I love this. We got fun things for you today. We're going to get into some cool stuff. Do couples actually take longer to text each other back than normal? You know, friends and different relationships and everything.
That's interesting.
Curious.
The percentage of people that can complete a full day's work on their phone.
Ooh. Wow.
We're going to talk a little fast food a little later. We're also going to talk about streaming and, you know, traditional cable TV, get into a little of that. Along with that, we're going to get into some entertainment news and talk about one of all of our favorite comic strips and something fun about the author about that.
Okay.
Oh, I know what it is.
Yeah.
Don't spoil. Awesome. No spoilers.
No spoilers. We've got all that coming up for you. 8 o'clock hour, in just a little bit, we'll get into our National Day of Calendar. In the 8 o'clock hour, we'll get into Misty's Mini Birthday and Anniversary Club. And to kick off the 9 o'clock hour, we will be joined by our Pet of the Week from the South Oak County Humane Society. Love Inc. is our sponsor for that. A big shout out to our friends at Love Inc. doing incredible work over there. We appreciate them. And we are so looking forward to Madison and whoever this new friend of ours is going to be joining us.
That's right.
We've had dogs. We've had rabbits. Madison knows her stuff. So I would not be surprised if an emu came in here.
Yeah.
Like, oh, an emu. Oh, I never met one of them. How are you doing,
Mr. I'm a little afraid of emus. I think I'm going to leave then, if that's what she brings in.
They're big.
Yeah.
There's something about emus, ostriches, those kind of birds.
Yeah. Kind of scary.
A bird
They're
that can
taller than you are.
Anything that can take you out with its foot, emu, ostrich, Bruce Lee, like anything in this realm.
Deer.
Yes.
Those are terrifying.
Deer,
it'll
freak you out. I saw a video the first time I've ever seen this the other day of a moose shaking its antlers. It is one of the weirdest things I've ever seen in my life. I was told that they often do this against trees.
Mm-hmm.
But this video that I saw, it was an overhead view, and it was just the deer shaking. And I didn't know what it was doing. I thought at first something was wrong with it because there wasn't any the caption of what the video was of. And then all of a sudden, its horns fall off. And I was like, oh my God. I don't know the last time a video made me like freak out like that before because I thought something was wrong. It took me a second to realize, no, wait a minute.
That's normal.
It's a cool video. I've seen that one too. It's impressive.
It's beautiful. It really, once you understand what's going on, you have a second to understand it and it's just seeing nature. It's so cool to see these videos that we get to see these trail cam videos. I'm a sucker for those. I have to say, though, I can't help myself. I got to imagine, a young moose, and you're just drawing your horns out, and you see this, wait a minute.
This is what happens?
That's what I get to look forward to?
Yeah.
It's the exact opposite of when you're a kid, and everybody tells you, oh, go ahead and ruin your teeth. They're just baby teeth anyway. Those just fall out. I hope that moose do this for other moose. I hope that deers do this for other deer. Like, go ahead, have fun with those horns. You're just going to knock them off anyway. I hope that they communicate this to them.
I hope so. Because I tell you what, we never saw that Bullwinkle do that. No clue. We're none Bullwinkle, man.
That squirrel. Moose and squirrel. I wanted to know how everybody's doing this morning. Melissa, how are you holding up in Abbotsford?
Oh, I'm doing good. It was very wet yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But, we're doing good today. Hopefully the internet holds on. It was dropping out on me a lot yesterday.
It's as if a rural broadband internet is important.
Interesting.
Yeah. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Huh. Mm-hmm. We maybe we might talk about that a little bit more, right?
Perhaps we should.
Perhaps we should.
Glad you're doing good over there. Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot for joining us, as always. Seth, how you doing?
I'm holding on. Just barely, but I'm there. I'm holding on.
This is the difference between Melissa and I, who drag ourselves out of bed, wake ourselves up, put our game faces on and do this, and a father of two.
Yeah.
Just like, look, I'm here. You're just be thankful I'm here. Quit asking me how I'm doing and all these questions like that and everything. I haven't even finished half my coffee yet.
I made it.
Isn't that enough for you, James? Having questions early
on. Well done, Seth. Well done.
Well, we might have something for the audience and for everybody, all of us, actually, that may actually kick your day off a little bit better. Doing this one thing can make each day a little happier.
One weird thing.
Here's an easy way to give yourself a boost. Listen to the morning show every morning. No. It's a lame plug. Well,
that goes without saying. Yeah. But yeah.
A study found there's one thing you can do each day to make yourself happier. Have at least one solid conversation with someone. See, I wasn't completely wrong.
We
encourage you to conversate with us.
Solid conversations.
Yes.
Is that what you'd call those? Okay.
Sure.
Researchers found it helps with stress and anxiety, makes us feel more connected. They identified seven different types of communication that qualify as a solid conversation. So any of these seven things will work.
Right.
Joking around, catching up, having a deep, meaningful talk, showing care, valuing the other person's opinion, offering sincere compliments, or even just listening.
Mm.
Oh. Repeat that last one. Even just listening.
Would you say, I'm sorry, James, I wasn't listening?
Listen.
Any of those types of conversations at least once a day makes us happier. But you definitely don't have to limit yourself to just one. People in the study who had multiple quality conversations a day saw an even bigger boost.
Wow.
I just a tiny bit of digging into this and everything, and this kind of comes back to endorphins and some things we've talked about before on the air as far as that goes, and everything from having your favorite coffee, seeing your favorite TV or movie show or something like that, to simple things like this.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take a lot.
No, it doesn't seem to.
And I mean, how encouraging is that? Not only does that hopefully get in everybody's brain to hey, maybe I should get out of my, talk to some people today, or
get out of your bubble.
Yes. And I think that's good. I love the idea that all you have to do is literally just start a conversation, and if you're just there listening and just a fly on the wall, that can count.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All of these are great. Catching up is one of the, as much as it's frustrating that talking to my best friend or my buddy Will out in California more often, it's one of the best things, catching up with them. It's like, hey, what have you been up to? It's a complete stranger almost, because you haven't seen them in a week.
Well, and I think most people, maybe not most, but a lot of people have, one of those friends that you don't see for a long time. But when you finally get a chance to connect again, you're able, it's like you weren't away from each other at all.
Right. Yeah.
You just started to pick up right where you left off, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Those are great conversations. Those are so much fun.
So good.
Yes. Yeah.
And I love the idea of showing care, valuing the other person's opinion. These are our signs of empathy. These are things that we need more of in our society. We need more people doing these things. It is so easy to bark and point fingers. It is a lot harder to listen. Mm-hmm. It is a lot harder to empathize. And you know what? I do not know what you are going through. I'm trying to understand.
Right. And that's a great point. And maybe if we treated more conversations like we did with our friends, who we have more patience with and who we are more willing to listen to because they're our friends. Maybe if we did that more often with other people, maybe we'd get some stuff worked out, just putting it out there.
It's a novel idea there, Seth.
If we,
not a bad one.
Yeah.
It's a good one. It's a good one right there. And it's good if Melissa complimented
it. Yeah, that's true, It's got her seal of approval on it now. Yeah.
For now.
We've got a world that's getting more cynical and harsher as we go on here, and yet we have a younger generation that is showing us that is going above and beyond and doing everything they can to be more empathetic, more engaged with politics, with society, with causes, with all these different things. And I like to think that this has a way of rounding out. And as we see all the time, we saw with our generation and the generation after us and before us, all this, that when they do take over more and more, which is happening faster and faster, they are not waiting for retirement. They're not waiting for you to move out of the way. They're taking things over.
They can't afford to.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's true.
When we were kids, the ozone was this tiny little thing that we barely talked about and everything. Mm-hmm. And, maybe lower the, don't use so much hairspray. Yeah. You know, maybe put the Aquanet down or something like that. You're so right, Melissa. Now it's I would imagine one of the earlier things that you learn is the troubles with the earth and that kind of thing. That's just one thing, let alone like politics and the mess that is, the joke and mess that has become. They're tired of that. They're tired of just seeing adults bark. That's all it is.
And then nothing gets done.
It's actually, it's not even, I'm insulting dogs. I want to apologize to every dog out there. It's more like wah, wah, wah. It's just the adults in the
Well, now you're insulting trombones. That's what you're
No, the teacher in Charlie Brown.
Oh, there you go. Okay. No one liked the teacher in Charlie Brown.
I always thought that was one of the most creative things I ever saw in a cartoon. What a great way of getting around using adult voice actors, too. Like, it's a good way of getting around it.
Well, how do kids actually hear adults? Yep, there you go. That's what it sounds like. That's
pretty much it. If we want them to hear us clear, we have to talk clear. We have to listen to each other and do some of these things in this survey here.
And you'll feel better because of it.
That was a segue right there. That was a tying it all together. We'll take a break. We'll come back into our National Day of Calendar, have some more fun. Melissa, Seth, and James taking you through your morning here at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR. Got the James gang together. Seth, Melissa, James, we're all here with you. We're having an out. We're going to get into our National Day of Calendar for this February 16th, 2023.
All right.
It is Introduce a Girl to Engineering Day.
Melissa, have you met engineering?
Hello, Melissa. I'm engineering. Nice to meet you.
It's the worst. That was horrible.
That's what engineering sounds like.
Actually, it was better than this day, in my opinion.
Okay.
Engineering is typically a male-dominated arena, but beyond simply tinkering with and repairing equipment, engineering requires a flair for creativity and intelligence, which the industry often misses out on due to so few women considering the career path. Introduce a Girl to Engineering Day is all about encouraging girls to consider a route into engineering and inspiring a generation who might grow up to be great innovators and problem solvers of the next generation. Okay, two things.
So I have no problem with those, those things.
Okay.
Okay, but James, what are your two things?
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't want to interrupt. I was just going to say, it makes it sound like guys can't do this, like they're not creative or problem solvers or anything. And don't have any intelligence. The way that is a flair for creativity and intelligence, with the industry often misses out on. Like, so it doesn't have it without. That part seems a little. I think you and I may be on the same page with the next thing. What were you going to say, Melissa?
Well, that it's good to encourage women to consider routes that they may not have traditionally before. But I don't know. This day smacks both ways.
Yeah,
kind of does.
I think
it
does.
Especially I don't know how old this day is. It doesn't give us a date or anything. But I'm not saying that we couldn't use more women in engineering and in that field.
Sure,
but that has changed quite a bit. I would say even in the time that I've been in radio, I've had female IT workers. I've had coders. I've met with many different women in the industry, especially through Midstate. I think the industry could definitely use more. But I think that this is something that is getting better. How many times have you gone to a mechanic in the last 10 years and it's a woman? It's happened to me a couple of times. Or I see women working in there.
And traditionally, fields that were male dominated.
I always think that all these industries could always use more, because every industry needs young blood. And you know, it doesn't matter, man, woman. Are you a young person that wants to do this for a living? Awesome, come on over here.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's more to me. What's the important part is just getting people into good industries.
Yeah. Totally.
And I like the fact, in some ways, that they covered their butts at the end of this day with the disclaimer, we're still researching this event.
Yeah.
Okay, way to go, day of the year.
So it's not real. It's not even real.
It's not.
We're still researching. Yeah, you should.
National Tim Tam Day. Tim Tams are more of an Australian candy.
Okay.
They're really popular over there. Tim Tams was produced in 1958 when Ian Norris of Arnott's. It was created in true Australian style. It went to England and discovered that they went to England and discovered that they simply didn't know how to make a proper biscuit. And with this in mind, firmly fixed on the penguin biscuit, set out to make a better one. Tim Tams are also popular from a comic strip back in the day.
Okay.
But they are kind of Australia's apple pie.
Yes. Okay.
In some ways.
Two chocolate malted biscuits with a fluffy cream filling and dipped in delectable milk chocolate. I would absolutely eat that.
Yes. It does sound good.
We've been doing this National Day of thing way back to, when Carl and I were doing the show. And Tim Tam Day has shown up a couple of times. And every time it does, I want to try one. They sound so good. And it's a good day for it, too, because it's Fat Tuesday, or Fat Thursday. Hey. Sorry, Fat Thursday.
Fat Thursday.
That's it threw me off.
Fat Tuesday wasn't enough.
Apparently. If ever there was an excuse to load up on sweet treats and take indulgent eating to the next level, Fat Thursday is just the ticket. A celebration of all things dough-related. This Polish tradition, awesome.
Very cool.
Offers a gilt-edged, guilt-free opportunity to gorge on donuts or paxi.
Paxi or something like that. I can't remember.
No, it's a
Poxy.
I remember hearing my Nana say it. Mm-hmm. I just can't think of what it is. Poxy is a traditional fried delicacy that contains rose jam.
Oh, that's interesting.
That sounds good. I want to try that. I like a surprising amount of Polish food, and I think that's all my Nana. I think that's all from her growing
good
up next
stuff.
To Polish people and everything. An appreciation of donuts is nothing new for the Poles, and it is believed that the tradition of buying and shortening Potski to celebrate Fat Thursday dates right back to the 16th century.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, nice.
That's a fun tradition. That's a good one.
Because we need one more sweet snack, man.
Yeah.
And an excuse to eat them.
Yep.
It's also National Do a Grouch a Favor Day. But you don't have to. I mean, if you want to. Maybe if I'm grouchy, people will do
me
favors.
Do they have to be like actual grouches, like Oscar?
I don't know, but I'm going to try. I'm gonna
can we find Oscar somewhere?
See if people will do me a favor. See if it's become grouchy.
He was my favorite.
I loved Oscar. I loved Oscar. I remember my dad saying, Jimmy, you okay? Because I told him I liked Oscar.
What's the matter with you?
Sometimes another person doing us a favor is the last is the last thing that will help us, you know, kind of not be a grouch.
Right.
Doing things for random people, for random strangers, can be very beneficial and helpful, and especially if you see somebody, you know, in a down mood.
Okay.
It's kind of the essence of the day.
Okay.
And being honest, we can all be grouchy.
Yes, absolutely.
So, yeah, we all have our moments.
You never know. You might be doing something for somebody, and that may come back around for you one day.
You never know.
It's Innovation Day. Innovation has become something of a buzzword these days, but it is one that represents an important concept that is constantly changing the world because it's, well, innovative. Anytime a person comes up with a new idea, a new product, or a new service that advances modern technology and finds new ways of doing things, they have been a part of innovation. Whether this happens at home or at a local level, corporately, or at the largest of levels. A little bit later, if we have time, I wanted to get into some more life hacks.
Okay.
And Melissa brought over a great book yesterday, the other day, and we are going over that with some old school ones. Mm-hmm. And I thought it'd be fun too. But I think innovation, oftentimes we think of technology or advancing something that we were previously doing differently. Innovation can be all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
It can be creativeness. It can be, you know, painting, writing. It's you are working on a vehicle and you figure out a different way to problem solve the issue.
Right.
That's innovation. That's innovation, Holmes.
It is.
Let's not limit our
innovation.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I learned from my boyfriend that you can peel squash with a carrot peeler.
Wow.
As long as you have a sharp enough carrot peeler.
Oh, there you go.
there's a caveat to that. But
that is
I would
good
have
one.
Never thought to do that, and I hate cutting the rind off of squash.
Ugh, it's a pain.
That is
innovative.
It is innovative. That is innovative. That's really good. That is really good. I love too when you come across these things almost as a happy accident or you don't have. He didn't have another tool around. He grabbed that and like, oh, wait a minute. Hey, this could work. And, you know, and it works. And, I love when things, these happy accident kind of things happen and we stumble across something that we'll do the rest of our lives. And it's National Almond Day.
I love almonds.
Almonds good.
Almonds, a bite-sized little nut common in trail mix and other breakfast and snack recipes. More likely than not, you've tried an almond before. But did you know that there is an entire day devoted to this celebration of almonds?
We do now.
Yep.
We do.
While traveling the Silk Road between Asia and the Mediterranean, explorers were said to snack on almonds during the long travel times. As explorers settled in the Mediterranean region, the trees began to grow in that area. As the trees spread throughout Europe, many of them clustered in Spain and Italy.
Ah, makes sense.
Almonds eventually made their way to the United States in the mid-1700s. Historians believe that they made their appearance on the trade ship brought to the U.S. from Spain by Francisco Padres.
All right.
Francisco go on to form the San Diego Padres.
Yeah.
It's not true. The tree died out in the United States quite quickly as the soil and cultivation knowledge to keep the trees alive was inadequate. It was not until the 1800s that almond trees were successfully grown and harvested in the States. By the end of the 1800s, the Sacramento and San Joaquin, Joaquin areas of California became the United States' biggest almond producers.
Oh, I did not know that.
Well, in his defense, in the 1700s, they probably didn't get them all the way to California yet.
Yeah, no, yeah, they did not. That's true. It needed the Northern California climate to get going.
It's again, this is innovation.
Yes, it is.
You try something, it doesn't work, and you keep trying. You don't give up.
That's right.
Have you guys tried the different flavors of almonds? You know, because like they coat them and stuff.
A few, yeah, a couple
My
of them.
My favorite is the wasabi soy.
Oh, I think I've had those. Yes, those are tasty.
The Aldi's brand of those are the best.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So go get some of those almonds, everybody.
Chocolate almonds? Does that count?
Sure does. Yeah.
That's about the only kind that I've tried. I don't mind almonds.
Yeah, they have like a dark, the dark chocolate like powder going on them.
Oh,
right?
Yes, those are good too.
I actually, this is kind of weird for me to say. I've realized this over the weekend, actually. I like almond milk more than I like almonds. Like, I'm not
sense,
too
actually.
Big on almonds. I'm not really too big on it. But almond milk, like, I had some chocolate almond milk. And it was okay. It was all right.
All right.
It's pretty good.
I'm a 2% kid. I grew up on 2% milk and everything, so the thicker usually is what I'm used to. But that was about the only difference I could tell.
It just
wasn't as thick as what I'm used to and everything, which is fine. As long as it's not skim milk. Skim milk and I go way, way back. And you think I got it in for Costner. Wait, maybe skim milk. Oh, that's the... Skim milk is lying to you. It is water. It is lying to you.
It's colored water.
Quit letting it get away with this. These are cows that think they can get away with something. They're like, hey, watch this.
It's the cows?
I don't know.
It's not the cows' fault.
They don't produce skim milk, dude. Just like chocolate. You know, brown cows don't.
Doesn't it come from brown
milk.
Cows?
I will never forget that stat. I will never forget looking over it. I believe it was Carl. Carl, 7%. Oh no, 6% of the population. No, I apologize. 8% of the population believe that chocolate milk comes from brown cows. Just will never lose that fact out of my brain.
I'm stuck on James' new innovation. Kevin Costner, the skim milk of actors.
Yes. And on
that was perfect.
We are going to Melissa's news. We'll come back and have some more fun, talk about couples and texting and all that when we get back here on the morning show at WFHR Locally Grown Radio. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. There is freedom within. There is freedom without. Try to catch the deluge in a paper cup. We hope you're having a good start to your day. Hey now, hey now. Hope it's a good one out there. Melissa, Seth, and James here. I was going to go on a tangent there, and I'm not going to.
Oh, you mean like normal? Yeah.
It's basically, yes. I don't even have a chair anymore. I just sit on a soapbox. That's all I do. It's just, oh, time to use this. Let me pull this out.
By the way, I have to mention that line that he says there, like trying to catch a deluge in a paper cup. What a great line.
It's a really
man.
Good line. It really line. Is. The lyrics of the 80s, some of it holds up, are so strong, so good. And then there's, hey, Mickey, you're so fine. You're so fine, you blow my mind. Hey, Mickey.
It's
right. A little bit of a Shatner version. Hey, Mickey, you're so fine, you blow my mind.
Oh, man, I wonder if there's one out there. I'm going to find that now. If Shatner ever did that song, we're going to find it.
Shatner doing 80s hits. Yes, I want that badly. Mm-hmm. And Melissa's just like, oh, dear God, they don't pay me enough for this.
They don't.
Everyone has people they text back immediately and people where it takes them maybe a little bit longer to get back to them. There's a new study out of the UK that claims couples take longer to text each other back the longer they've been together. They found that the average response time for a newly dating couple was 16 minutes and 50 seconds. They also send each other 15 messages each day, plus 7 social media posts.
Whoa.
Wow.
My God. Wow.
Seems like a lot.
It's a lot of work. But just 2 years into a relationship, the average response time slumps to 24 minutes and 12 messages every day and 6 social media posts.
That's not a lot of drop off, really.
Yeah. No, it's not.
No,
not at all. Like
six, one less social media post.
Man,
I suppose you could make the if you just keep like stretching this out that as you go on in time, maybe you message less and less. But you normally don't start out, hey, want to live together? Like so if you're not most couples start out pretty much the same way we all
right,
do.
Right. Yeah.
So you're going to be texting each other more if you're not living together. If things work out, you end up living together 5 years
you're
down the
line. Talk more in person.
Yeah.
You'd think. You think.
One would hope.
Man, yeah. I bet you no one ever realized how much modern love would involve typing.
Yes. I mean, yes.
Who saw that one coming?
That's a good observation.
All the people back in the day that were writing love letters, like,
typewriter,
and all that and everything, are like, ha! But we were ahead of our time, sort of. I think that there is more to texting for the every generation that's going on younger than there is to some of us. We're still of the generation of, can I call you? It'd be a lot easier if I could just call
just
and call talk.
You,
just have this conversation over the phone.
Yeah, it'd be a lot simpler than texting back and forth and all this. Whereas you say this to a young person, like, huh? What?
I don't answer my phone.
I don't. What's a
Why
phone?
Why would you call me?
It's that thing you're using right now. It's
it's the internet text
of
thing.
Voice exchange.
Yeah.
When you rely on communicating that way, you're probably going to do it a lot more.
That's true. That's very true.
I don't think I really ever do this, but if I do have one complaint to younger people, and I'm thinking more 18 to 21, 22, around that range, not everything, like you can text in a bunch in just one text. Not every text has to be, what's the assignment today? Really? Are you sure? Didn't we do that? It just stretches out for like an hour. Just message me just all at once or call, please. I also am very blown away by the kind of pushback that we get a lot with a lot of questioning. Like when it comes to relationships and interacting with couples, wouldn't you think that every couple is going to be a case by case basis?
You'd think.
So the idea of trying to figure out the averages of anything when it comes to one of the most unpredictable things in the universe, love. Love is I would gather that love may be more unpredictable than anger or jealousy or any other feeling, any other emotion under the sun. So we're talking about love, and then you're going to try to tell me what an average, quote-unquote, average couple does. There is no such thing.
Well, because I think it might be because the feelings of love that we have, encompass so many of those emotions, given, at any certain, specific point in time.
Yeah.
You're happy, you're sad, you're angry, and they're all deal because someone you love is doing something, you know, either it's good or bad, and then you're, but I love them kind of thing. So maybe that's it. I don't know.
Could be.
Pop psychology. That's all you get on this show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Tons of it. Yes. Yes.
Well, some of us have, you know, a license for it, as in a bartender's license.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
James, I would argue that the reason that that younger generation sends so many multiple messages, and this just popped in my head because my younger brother does this to me occasionally, too. And I wonder if it's because when you look at your phone and you have 10 messages waiting, wouldn't that make you feel like that immediate gratification of, oh, I have 10 messages?
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
It might all be from the same person, but they're 10 separate messages.
Sure.
And doesn't that just click, you know, that switch in your brain of, oh, I'm popular.
Yeah.
Or, ooh, somebody's paying attention to me.
Wow, I hadn't thought of that.
And I wonder if that's it, over one, over, you know, one versus 25.
I don't disagree with that. Yeah. I will say, just to kind of my own little touch on that, not being a young person, obviously. But I've done this thing for a couple of years now where I pick and choose when I go on social media and when I like things and all that and everything. And I usually choose like one day a week where I'm going to do that. And while I'm doing this, because I don't get to play video games hardly at all anymore, I notice my counter on like my Facebook app go up. And I've got like 110 notifications on my Facebook page. And I kind of like seeing how high I can get.
It's nice.
Like I've gotten up to 172 before. So like to your point, Melissa, I get that. I get where I can see that. I don't know if it's normal or anything like that, but that just kind of is par for the course for me. That
Well, if you think about it, you know, the number of likes somebody gets on their on their post, or the likes on Twitter, the likes on Facebook, those give you a kind of gratification.
We've talked before about, again, endorphins and how that affects them and just the simpleness of seeing somebody like something. I remember doing the study earlier in the show where we talked about how somebody, if you're on, you post something and you immediately get a like, the way that is different than coming back a couple hours later and seeing likes. Like the way social media has affected our brains, and I don't mean that necessarily in all of a negative way.
No,
some of that
no.
is positive, but it's interesting to see. Mm-hmm. It's a whole new. It's just a whole new bag, and it's going to be this way for a while. We've had the internet for over 30 years now, and we're just kind of sort of starting to get laws and ideas around it.
Catching up,
Laws are just starting to catch up. Rules are just starting to kind of catch up. Even contracts and things, like actors and writers, they got a big contract coming up soon with the Writers Guild. And the biggest thing on the plate right now for us is, well, what about my content? If I make something if I write a Saturday Night Live sketch, and it's people see it on TV and everything, but where it really blows up is on the NBC website or something. Well, what do I get? How do I get paid for that?
Yeah.
I want to get paid for that. That's where you're making the money off me. Mm-hmm. How come you're making all that money and I'm not getting paid anything? Mm-hmm. Actors, writers, editors, directors, creatives in general, are not going to keep taking this. Mm-hmm. And if it's not careful, we'll be in another writer's strike like we were, 10, 15 years ago,
was. 10, 15, something like that,
So it's very interesting to see how we're going to balance this out in 10 years where we're going to be with all these things.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and the psychology. We haven't barely scratched the surface of that yet.
Oh, yeah.
Instant gratification and what the internet does to our brains fully. They're just starting to figure that stuff out.
For sure.
I don't think that we need to panic. I think that it's one of those... I changed my mind.
Seth runs out the door.
That was so good. I was just going to keep rolling with it. That was good. I think that we, again, going back to, because I'm really getting tired of the cynicalness, and that's saying something coming from me.
It
really is. It just seems like, and I know I hate to do this, I know I always come back to sports, but sports really brought this up to me. Patrick Mahomes is 26, and the idea of people being tired of his greatness already, or not being able to kind of like just be like, hey, this guy's great at what he does, and moving on. Not, you know,
he's only 26. Wow.
Debating. We used to wait until a guy's career was done before we did this, Melissa. Now it's like, we're kind of bored of Patrick Mahomes and his greatness. Let's move on. How can we bring him down?
I'm going to coin a new phrase. I'm going to call that Brady fatigue.
Yeah, maybe.
We're tired of hearing how great a guy is.
It'd be one thing if it was just sports, but we do it with literally everything.
It's true.
We can't let anybody do anything without tearing them down nowadays. We don't praise anything. It's almost this refusal of complimenting anything anymore.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. You can hold things accountable. I think that's very, very important. But we may have gone a little too far on the end of that.
We've gone from skepticism to cynicism. It's easy to do. It's easy to fall into that, but you should. Skepticism's good. Cynicism, that's not so good.
There.
No, because that can be used against you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Which it has been. It has been used as a weapon against voters and so many other people.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You got it.
Take a break. Come back. We'll have some more fun here on the morning show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Appreciate the updates. Be sure to stick around at the top of the hour. We'll have CBS News for you. And after that, we'll be joined live and direct from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Let you know what's going on with Mother Nature for today and coming up.
Mm-hmm.
We will, after we're done talking with Paul, probably, from the Weather Eye Weather Center, we'll get into, for the first time ever, what are people doing that is different with streaming and traditional TV?
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, we'll touch on that one in a moment. But we were just talking about phones and everything. Well, let's get into this. There are jobs that must be done in person, jobs that can be remote, and apparently jobs that can be done on a smartphone. There's a new report out that talked to people about how there's apps for everything, and it asked people what they've done entirely on their phone. 51% of people 51% of people have done a full grocery run through their phone. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think I've actually seen that done. I've actually...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Melissa?
Yeah, I'm
so
here.
Sorry. Okay, yeah, I wanted to make sure you were there. All right. Yep. I'm just making sure it was working. Sorry about that. So 51% of people have done a full grocery run on their phone. Another 51% have taken photos of a special occasion on their phone, like a wedding, like done the whole thing instead of having the videographer or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. 47% have shopped for clothing.
Yeah.
46 have completed a full day's work. That's interesting.
Wow. That's how I'm kind of curious about how that would work, and that doesn't sound very fun.
Guessing that
no,
probably wasn't surgeons. Probably wasn't.
No, although I mean they are doing them across the country now, though.
That's true. Yeah, virtually, yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. It's wild.
That is insane.
But probably not with their phone.
No.
Do not want to get that bad cell reception area.
Like, oh, no, I lost the
I lost signal.
Okay, so what do I tie? What? Hello? Hello?
Oh, jeez. Dark really quick.
42% have worked through and filed a tax return.
Yeah, that one I can see. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've done that. Shout out to myfreetaxes.com. It's a great website, everybody. Yeah. That's a great website. If you make only so much and everything, like if you work in radio or you're a struggling actor, like, oh, my God, it's a great website. 39% have completed a homework assignment.
Oh, again, that's probably going to go up.
Yeah, likely.
38% have read a book or a full magazine on their phone.
I read books all the time on my phone.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I love my Libby app. It's amazing.
I've used that too. Yeah. Yeah. It is a really good app. Yeah. And 22% have done some kind of dictation, a transcription only using their phone.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. The dictation part I get. You just talking to your phone. But transcribing it then on your phone? Ooh. That seems intense.
Yeah.
Small. I mean, I know phones are getting bigger, you know, in terms of screen size and everything, but man.
Yeah, but you'd almost have to have two open.
Yeah, I know. How would you do that? Seems like it would take a really, really long time.
Or a program that allowed you to do listen and type at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Which there probably is a program that can do that. I wouldn't be surprised.
I take probably. A, I use my phone to take a lot of notes. I've got like a text chain going to myself where it's just texting, rhymes that I have in my head or story ideas or show segment ideas, that kind of stuff, questions for guests, all that kind of thing.
Makes sense.
But I have to get it, I take it from there and put it on my laptop. Mm-hmm. And that's where I can really do the editing and all that and everything.
With a full keyboard. A lot of that stuff is, maybe it's just a generational thing. Typing on a phone, it just, I just don't like
rough.
It. It is.
There's a wonderful, go ahead, Melissa.
I use swipe keyboard on my phone, which I like better.
A lot of people do. That doesn't work for me. My thumbs are too dang, my hands are just too big. No matter what keyboard I use, I've tried big keyboards, smaller ones, I've tried the swipe thing, nothing seems to work. I'm just bad at typing, texting on the phone.
Yeah.
There's a wonderful comic, it was a comic strip turned into a cartoon, The Boondocks. Mm. One of my favorite of all time. Great voice actors in it and everything. Mm-hmm. One of them was Samuel Jackson. And Samuel Jackson has a quote in one of them where nobody ever wrote anything intelligent with their thumbs.
That's a good line.
Shakespeare wasn't doing writing sonnets with his thumbs. It's a funny line.
Yeah.
To me, it just speaks to, okay, I can't, I, like a little bit later, we're going to have Alexis Walton join Seth and I for Director's Cut. We're going to record her a little bit later today around 1 o'clock or so. And when we're doing that, I'll have the questions for the interview and her webpage and Spotify and all that on my phone because it's a little bit easier to have set up.
Yep, exactly. than a full laptop, right? Yeah.
I did all the, I put all the questions on my laptop. I did all that on there, so now I'm just looking at it.
Right, exactly. So, well, and that's, I mean, that's kind of where things are right now anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think laptops, I don't think those will ever completely go away.
Probably
I think people
not.
Will have laptops. I mean, now because you've got like the Surface ones where it's kind of like a giant tablet as well, because you can like combine all that stuff together. So those will probably never go away. But I think at some point the phones will be, we'll be doing most of our day-to-day things on our personal portable electronic devices.
Well, the processing power in a phone is practically as high as you can, do on a computer. But there are some things, obviously, like I'm not going to play some of the games that I play on my computer on my phone.
No, that wouldn't work.
Keyboard and a mouse.
Yeah, exactly. Or a console game, one of those elaborate, it's like a game like as elaborate like Red Dead Redemption or something like that. You can't do that on your phone. That would totally defeat the purpose. Yeah, exactly.
It's such a good game, though. Such a fun game. We got to talk a little fast food now. Fast food prices have increased over the years. Mm-hmm. Some of them are still worth the price. Others, not so much. A new study looked at 12 fast food and fast casual places and ranked them based on the average cost of a popular meal nationwide. Panera's bread is the priciest at almost $15 per meal.
Ooh.
Chipotle is second, followed by Blaze Pizza. I want to try that place. I don't know what Blaze Pizza is, but that's
I've heard of it, but I've never had it.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Shake Shack is next, and then Jersey Mike's. Chick-fil-A and McDonald's are the cheapest. They're both just under $9.
Okay.
But which one feels the most overpriced for what you get?
That's the question.
Shake Shack is by far the place that people think is too pricey for what it is. Blaze Pizza second, followed by MOB Pizza, Panera Bread, and Chick-fil-A. McDonald's and Taco Bell scored the best on value. People are generally happy with what they get for the price that they pay.
Okay.
I'm not.
I agree with you more.
The great Satan in Taco Bell here for Melissa. Yeah.
Well, to be fair, though, McDonald's, too. I have a really hard time spending over $10 for a hamburger, fries, and a drink.
Yeah.
That seems like too much money.
Yeah.
I don't disagree. And if I'm going to spend that, I want it to be something I know that I'm going to enjoy.
And that you're going to still feel full 2 hours later.
And I'm, oh, Melissa, I'm so glad you said that, because yeah, that's what I was going to say, is I don't think I've ever eaten at McDonald's and ever felt full afterwards, or felt good afterwards.
Or that.
I did very similar with other places, too. Mm-hmm. Just not to pick on them, I'm just using them because they are on the survey here and everything. And I traditionally just don't go there very often.
And that's why we're so lucky here in Wisconsin Rapids, because we have a fast food place which isn't that expensive called Chips Hamburgers.
Yes. Man, it gets
and the food is better. Yeah.
The food is better.
Yeah.
Those kids over there, like the Culver's kids, I just marvel at them. They work their tails off and do such a good job in those places. I was not good at fast food. Because it wasn't fast. I like cooking. I worked at KFC for a while.
Yes.
And I really liked it. I enjoyed cooking and everything. I was not fast enough for those people. They did not like me. They did not. What are you doing over there? I was just putting a little Italian seasoning. No! What are you doing?
You just pull the thing out of the oil that
Stick
you're done.
Stick to the recipe.
They have a 6-3-6 method that they use. Like, you pick up the chicken and you pound, like, six different seasonings you put in, So there's a process there, but I was not good at the process. I like, get stuck on, like, the second step of the process or something like that.
It's not covering every individual part of the chicken. That's okay, James. It just needs to be generally over. But no, there's this whole section that's missing. James.
I totally see that, too.
Melissa, were you there? you really got this down. Yeah, that's like almost exactly how it went. I think that when it comes to price and value for your buck, and this is going to sound brown nosing, but that's just the color of my nose naturally. I think Culver's gives you the best bang for your buck. It's not the cheapest place around.
No,
but if you are going to spend a little bit more, and you know, again, counting on the meal, like I know I'm going to enjoy this meal. I've never had a bad meal there.
Yep.
I don't mind spending a little more if I know I'm going to get something like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's fresh, never frozen, as far as the beef goes. I mean, obviously the fries are frozen, but...
Well, that's okay.
They should be.
I think Taco John's is another one that does that for me. There's a lot of, back where my old stomping grounds, Portillo's was the place. You got good luck leaving Portillo's without, like, your top button undone. Because you always ate good at those places. I swear, they had Italian grandmothers running every Portillo's in Chicago. You almost couldn't leave. Like, somebody would ask you, "You full? Have you eaten it? Munja.
Are you sure you don't need more?"
Yeah.
And let me put a little more on your plate for you. But I'm full. Just a little more. Just a little more.
I'm surprised that there's not a Portillo's like on every block in Chicago, because every person I've ever met who's from Chicago, that's one of the – it comes up really quick, too. Yeah. Have you ever been to Portillo's? Man, they got the best hot dog.
You know. If you are a fan of Italian beef, yep, that's the one. God, there's no better place in the world, baby. There's a lot of good places. There's a lot of good local places. Just be sure to get your money's worth. I would rather eat at home than spend money on food, even if it's fast, and not be full afterwards.
And it's not even that fast.
Yeah. Yes. It's especially – Especially nowadays, it's not nearly as fast as it
kind of fast food. Maybe we should change it. Yes.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center after CBS News here on Mornings at WFHR.